Peter Welch, the only Democratic congressman, no, the only congressman from Vermont. There's one congressman and two senators, which makes you very unique. Do you think about that every day, Peter?
I never think about it. When I do think about it, I'm really happy. I've got Bernie and Patrick. We have worked together well for 11 years. And, you know, I think Vermonters like the way we get along and work together and are on the same page. So in that sense, I do think about it, but it's gotten to be that I just know I can count on them to be helpful and vice versa.
Well, you know, I like to think I know something about something, but I have to tell you, when it comes to North Korea, I really don't know what I would be doing right now if I were sitting in the White House. I think I'd be doing more diplomacy than this cowboy is doing.
Well, the missing link here is diplomacy. I mean, the president is doing diplomacy by Twitter, if you want to call it that, but it's essentially using Twitter as a way to unleash insults towards North Korea and worry our allies. Second thing is that, and this is what worries me a lot, if we're going to be successful with diplomacy, we've got to be doing everything we can to enhance our relationship with our allies. You know, for instance, China can play a major role here. Russia can be helpful. And in the complicated world where you've got an actor like North Korea, and it's very dangerous if they have a nuclear weapon, and there's a strong reason why not just the president, but all of us and our allies want to do what we can to stop that from happening. We've got to have a president who understands that his words really matter. And this last episode with the belittling comment about Rocket Man, amusing as it might be, obviously is provocative. But then the following remark where he said he's basically going to wipe North Korea off the map, and now North Korea is saying they're taking that as a declaration of war, that's an escalation that, frankly, just really gets in the way of trying to calm things down to see if we can get to a negotiating position that is going to provide peace and security. Keep in mind here that everybody understands that with all the tough talk about a military action by the president or wiping North Korea off the map, the military option, all analysts say, would almost absolutely result in hundreds of thousands of lives lost on the South Korean peninsula, including potentially many, many Americans. We've got 27,000 soldiers over there. There are about 200,000 Americans. And they're all within, it's not missile range, they're all within artillery range of the border that's 27 miles away from Seoul.
Peter, the First World War happened almost by mistake. Nobody wanted it. It turned out to be one of the worst things that has ever happened on this globe. Do you worry that we could be going there, that, you know, this president might, with his sole finger on the button, might just provoke that?
Well, I'm worried that the way he acts heightens risk, doesn't diminish risk. You know, there's no sensible reason for there to be a shooting war, even though we've got a serious situation with North Korea and its ambitions to get a nuclear weapon. I mean, but you take a look at what happened with Iran, where they were heading towards having a nuclear capacity. And there was an immense amount of anxiety, understandably so, in the part of the West as to what would happen. And we opposed Iran getting a nuclear deal. We, over a long period of time, on a bipartisan basis, imposed sanctions on Iran. In a careful approach to diplomacy, we got not just our strong allies like Great Britain and France in the European Union, we got Russia, who's not been our friend, to support us in the sanction regime. And we got China to do that as well. Those sanctions had an effect, not immediate, not the immediate way that President Trump acts as though things like this can be accomplished, but they worked. And then we had a long-term negotiation. And now we have seen, despite the president's criticism of the Iran nuclear deal, that Iran has been in compliance with the terms and conditions, and we've bought ourselves a significant amount of time. And why wouldn't we take that patient approach to another very, very difficult problem, which we have in North Korea? So the Twitter attacks that the President Trump does, I don't think help. They just don't help.
I don't have enough time with you ever, and we are so grateful that you are with us. So I wanted to get through a couple of other things and get your reactions to them. First of all, the chances of the Democrats taking the House and the Senate. You're a seasoned political guy. In the beginning, I would have bet you that neither was going to happen. Now it looks pretty good for the Democrats.
Yeah, I'm not predicting, but there are a couple of things out there that establish a direction. One is, what's the presidential approval rating? And most of the experts who follow these say that's a big indicator. And, of course, President Trump's approval ratings are underwater. And then second, there's a generic question pollsters ask, do you want Republicans or Democrats to be in charge? And there's a significant advantage for Democrats. Now, having said that, I think the Democrats have to do much more than just talk about our opposition to Trump. And unless we do, we have a chance of not connecting and creating trust with the American people. We really should be pushing our own infrastructure plan. We should be pushing our fixes to the Affordable Care Act, or maybe even rallying around to support the opportunity for people age 50 and over to buy into Medicare. They trust that program, and it would save them about 40%. We should have a commitment to rural America that has been getting hammered economically. So I think that whatever is going to happen, our contribution to making it happen for there to be a good shot at a Democratic majority has to be about, one, recruiting good candidates, but two, having a clear agenda that speaks to the economic challenges that so many Americans are facing. And I don't, you know, Trump, we're against him, but if what all we are known for is that we're oppositional to Trump, that's not what the American people need. They need to hear what we want to do for them.
And the Senate, what do you make of that? Same answer, or is there a different set of dynamics?
Well, the dynamics are the same. What's a little bit different in the Senate is that it's a whole state, and actually that works to the advantage, I think, of challengers, incumbents who are trying to hang on. We've got a lot of Democrats who are up for re-election, so we're defending a lot of seats this time. So that theoretically favors the Republicans, but that dynamic I'm talking about on a statewide basis, I think, is going to give some breathing room to our solid Democrats who are in a tough re-election fights. That dynamic is a little bit different in the House, where we've got this extreme gerrymandering that's, in my view, really, really toxic for American democracy. We should not have these gerrymandered districts that are designed for the benefit of extreme conservatives or extreme liberals. We should have districts where you've really got to talk to a broad cross-section of voters. So that, I think, is something that's going to hurt. That's something the Democrats have to overcome, because the gerrymandered districts have been designed for the incumbents.
I always love having an opportunity to talk to Congressman Peter Welch from Vermont, the only congressman in Vermont. There are no others. And Peter, we always thank you for taking this immense amount of valuable time and talking to us.
No, I appreciate it. I really do. It's just great to be talking to your listeners and to you.